Today we will continue in Luke. We're like the middle point of Luke 24. And the passage that we plan to cover today is Jesus appears to two disciples as they are walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And now, it is not known where Emmaus is, but Luke tells us it's 7 miles from Jerusalem. And Clark, the commentator, said that even though it's unknown where it is today, that it is thought it's northwest of Jerusalem. And I looked on this map here, and sure enough, 7 miles northwest of Jerusalem, these map makers here put Emmaus here, just northwest of Jerusalem. So, we do not know who these two men are. We get the name of one, Cleopas, but he's never mentioned ever again in the New Testament. And the other man is not mentioned his name. And so these are unknown disciples of Jesus. Now, Luke gives us a full account of what went on, which is the only full account that we have. Matthew and John do not mention these two men or Jesus appearing to them at all. But Mark does, however, and it's in two verses, so I thought I would start off reading this. It's Mark 16, and it's verses 12 and 13, but I think I'll back up to verse 9 just to get a little context to see why Mark mentioned this. So Mark 16, verse 9. Now when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. Okay, they did not believe Mary Magdalene. Now here is this occurrence here, verse 12. After that, and it's later on that afternoon or evening, Jesus appeared in another form, and this is, they did not recognize Jesus. Jesus did to these two just as he had done to Mary Magdalene, and they did whatever is some kind of a miracle, they did not recognize him. And so that's what this means, in another form. And to two of them, so two disciples, as they walked and went into the country. So they were leaving Jerusalem, going out into the countryside, this Emmaus community, whatever, town. And they went and told it to the rest, so to the 12 and everyone else, other disciples. But none of them believed them either. So the apostles and everyone else did not believe Mary Magdalene or the women, and they did not believe these two men either, that they had seen Jesus. This is the only brief mentioning, and then we get the full account from Mark. Any questions or comments before we go on to Mark? To Luke. Okay, so now we'll go to Luke 24. And this account starts in verse 13. And it finishes up. Let me see. We're not going to cover the full account. At verse 40. Go all the way down to 45. I guess 45, but we're going to cover through 27 today. So this is the introduction part to where they are. Jesus meets them on the road, and Jesus asked them a question about what is it that y'all are talking about? Because they're talking about that these women have said that Jesus has risen from the dead. But now these two were part of the group that even went to the grave site, and then they saw these the mummy wrappings that were still in Jesus's bodily shape, but there was no body inside the linen, and so they witnessed that, and that alone should have put into all of their minds that Jesus rose just as he said he did, and not that anyone took the body or anything. Since those mummified cloths, the wrapping, was still there in the three-dimensional shape that Jesus had occupied them in, that should have told them more. But anyway, they were, I guess, emotionally intoxicated might be a term, because here they were in a deep state of grief and mourning, and maybe not thinking clearly, and then they didn't have the full understanding going in. They don't get the full understanding until later on, over these next 40 days that Jesus appears to them, and then on the day of Pentecost, the apostles get a lot better understanding when the Holy Spirit comes upon them with power. Okay, so we'll start in verse 13 of Luke 24. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And it's guessed that it's northwest of Jerusalem. Other than that, nobody knows. It's an unknown town, only mentioned here. And Kaufman says about this: Jesus' appearance to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, instead of giving the list of appearances that Jesus made post-resurrection, Luke fully describes one particular appearance that the others do not mention, except Mark just mentions it, as we just read, and then Matthew and John don't mention it at all. But we get the full account here through Luke. And this Emmaus was a village about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And about two of them were going. One of these was Cleopas, and we'll get his name a few verses down here. There being no other mention of him in the New Testament, and the other is not known. We don't know him by name. And so he continues about this, about these being unknown. The fact of these two disciples having been obscure, ordinary disciples without any particular distinction in the fellowship of the Lord's followers is a pledge of authenticity of the narrative. So, I have heard this talked about in other times, that because we do not have hardly any background information or even afterword information, that is a confirmation of authenticity of the scriptures and that it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Versus if this was man written, well, we would have a background on who these two men were, and they probably wouldn't have been made up to be obscure. They'd probably been one of the apostles, or that we would have had a background afterward and then before this and after this about these two men is the normal way that people would write. And for sure, if they were making it up, you wouldn't just put these two unknown men and nothing else. If you're going to make it up, you'd make up a better story. So Kaufman said this is more evidence of authenticity of this passage, plus being inspired by the Holy Spirit. Okay, verse 14 and 15. And they talked together of all things all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So, first these two men are leaving Jerusalem, going to Emmaus, and they're talking and distraught and perplexed, not knowing what to, Jesus is gone, the body is gone, and they just don't understand what's going on. And then also, 3 days before, here this is Sunday, so on the Thursday, you had the darkening of the sun, had the earthquakes that split the rocks, you had dead people that came out of the grave that went into Jerusalem. And so all of these things, these people are, they're discussing all of this. And so, as far as these men know, this man comes up and walks, catches up to him beside. So I don't know if he comes from the side or he's just walking faster than they are. But they have 7 miles to walk. And so that's a distance from here at Blair to Warren. So it's a substantial length of time. And Jesus is going to do a good amount of teaching to them here. But Kaufman's comment on these two verses are, the conversation of these two indicates their deep interest and concern in the knowledge of things pertaining to Jesus. And the fact of their not recognizing Jesus indicates that Jesus did not intend for them to recognize him at this time. One of the mysterious qualities in the resurrected body of our Lord was this quality of remaining unrecognized until it was fully intended by the Lord. And then at the end of this, Jesus is ready for them to recognize him. And so he allows them to recognize him, and then he disappears. That's how it ends. But he just comes up, as, and they think he's a stranger that we're about to read now, verses 16 and 17. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And Jesus said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Okay, so Jesus throws a question out there. They're talking about it. And Jesus asked them, what are you talking about? And I see that you're really sad. So tell me about this. And Kaufman's comment here is, Jesus's question here was for two purposes. First, either of obtaining information for himself, or two, of professing any need of enlightenment from them. It was a means of inviting himself into the conversation, which had evidently continued for some time after Jesus fell in step with them. And then God asked Adam, where are you? Not to obtain information, but to produce a confession. Okay, so he asked them, what are y'all talking about? And verse 18, then one of those whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happen there in these days? So they are referring to Jesus' crucifixion and these miracles that took place. And they are perplexed. How do you not know this? Everyone else does. And everyone all over Jerusalem was talking about it. And Kaufman's comment here is, such wonderment was natural. Here is spontaneous testimony to the fact that all men were conscious of the dramatic events related to the crucifixion of the Messiah. And verse 19, and Jesus said to them, what things? So when they say, are you not, do you not know these things which have happened in these days? And so he said, well, what things are they? He's trying to get them to talk, and then he's going to do some teaching to them on the back end of this. So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. Okay. Kaufman said, "Thus the two disciples responded as Jesus had intended by focusing attention upon the solemn events connected with his great sacrifice for sins." And then they continue, "But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened." Well, they know that he said that he was going to rise on the third day. That should have confirmed everything that they had seen. The body is gone. Well, but anyway, they're still perplexed and they're in denial that he has risen. So, and I don't know, because obviously the body was not stolen. It couldn't have been stolen because his clothes were still there in the tomb. But they are perplexed here. And Kaufman said, "By using the past tense, these two confessed that hope had vanished because a dead prophet could not redeem Israel. And by redeeming Israel, they had the false concept then that the modern day Jews have today, that the Messiah is going to be a military leader, and they were looking for one to remove the occupation of Rome out of Jerusalem. And that never was going to happen. When God had prophesied to Daniel that in the days of these kings of this fourth kingdom, which was unnamed, but now we know, and even they knew then, was the Roman Empire. And in the days of those kings, God would establish a kingdom that would never be destroyed. They falsely took that as being an earthly kingdom, but God never meant that. It was a heavenly kingdom. And Jesus fully explained that. Well, he mentioned this to Pilate and others that and let them know, but people did not want to believe that. They still had in their mind that this was an earthly kingdom that God was going to establish. And so now, well, that Messiah is dead, and you have to have a prophet that's going to redeem the nation or to lead a military campaign. You have to have, he's got to have to be alive, and he's dead now, and we don't even know where the body is. And so, I don't know, they're perplexed where they really should not be, but regardless, Jesus is going to help them straighten this out. And then about this third day, their mention of the third day rising would seem to imply that they remembered Jesus' promise about rising again the third day. So they knew that, and now that he's gone, they should have realized, well, he did exactly what he said he was going to do, but that did not make any connection with any of them. Verse 22, and now they still continue, "Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." Okay, so they've gone to the tomb and the clothes were there, this mummified wrapping was there, but the body was gone. And they have discounted, see, we already got from Mark, they did not believe Mary Magdalene or the women, and they did not believe these two men either when they're going to go back and tell the apostles after this. But they have discounted Mary Magdalene and the women, said a vision of angels. So they just assumed that they hallucinated in their grieving state and thought that they saw some angels, and they didn't believe anything they said. They just thought that they hallucinated it. And but everything was exactly as everyone is telling about the events. And Kaufman's comment on these three verses is, at the same time these two disciples had left the circle of believers, the Lord had not appeared to any of them. Of course, the Lord had appeared early that day to Mary Magdalene, but it appeared this was discounted by all of the disciples, as it certainly had been by the 11. So, and then when these two go back, they're not going to believe them either, as Mark has already told us. So, any questions or comments on this to this point?